Monty Show, Wednesday, May 30th. How the heck are you? A lot to get to. Hi, Jake.
Hello.
It's hot in Phoenix.
It is. 103.
It is beautifully cool in SoCal. Anyway.
The ocean, man.
I'm bitter about heat in Arizona. Hey, let's talk Draymond versus Klay. Jerry Colangelo's kid has a burner account on Twitter that apparently is run by his wife. NFL owners are working with Donald Trump on the kneel down thing. Jake is lit over this. You like that? Hey, I used a millennial
term. Great job.
I said
that's
lit.
That's an improvement for you.
We got to talk pitching in Major League Baseball. That booty was at the White House today. How about Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump?
Yeah. I'm curious how many times he tried.
Awesome. Make sure you find the show on iHeartRadio app. On the iHeartRadio app, just search The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. We're also on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher. Wherever you get your podcast, just search The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Let's start talking a little hoop. We are just a day away, 24 hours now, from Game 1 of the NBA Finals. And I'm curious your thoughts on something that the Dan Patrick Show had today that, frankly, I was fascinated by the conversation. Draymond Green or Klay Thompson? Because if you are a Warrior fan, you're going to have to make this decision. And I don't think it's going to be an easy one. I actually think it's going to be very difficult. And it's one I think that's coming very soon. So, Jake, you can only have one. One. Klay Thompson, who is got one more year left at $18.9 million, or Draymond Green, who's got 2 years left, $17.4 and $18.5. Who you got?
I think I would take Draymond for the Warriors. I think, you know, he already is the emotional leader. I think Klay's a great player, right? Like, this isn't about the fact that Klay's not a great player.
No, but let's not do the thing where we rip one down to build up another, because they're both really good.
Yeah, I mean, they're both really good, but I guess the biggest differentiating factor here is that Draymond plays great defense and can play a lot of different roles on defense. And Klay is more of a perimeter defender, really good perimeter defender, actually.
One of the best.
And a great spot-up shooter. And so I guess when you're looking at, well, what do the Warriors need more? Well, they need more interior defense, and that's what Draymond provides you. And I think, you know, they're not going to trade Klay Thompson, because you're not going to do that if you're the Warriors. But
dude, I don't know what they do, because looking at the salary numbers, they're all good next year. The Warriors have set this up salary-wise, where the real question lingering is, how much money is Kevin Durant going to get back? That's really what this comes down to. But they have a player option with Durant. Other than that, Steph, Klay, Dre, Iguodala, and Sean Livingston are all under contract for next year. And frankly, I think Andre Iguodala is proving his worth at $16 million. I think Draymond Green at 17.4 is a good number for him.
Yeah.
And I also think that Klay Thompson at 18.9 is a good number. My biggest concern is, how do you fit all of these guys under the cap and still replace a guy like a Nick Young, who I think has given them valuable minutes, obviously hit a big shot the other night. I think he's important. I think David West is important. What do you do with a guy like a Kevon Looney, a Patrick McCaw? Like, all of these guys you have, you're going to have to fit them, and Kevin Durant has said he's not going to take a hometown discount. So this obviously brings you to Kevin Durant's contract, and then you're looking ahead to 2019-2020 when your boy, Steph Curry, is going to be making $40 million. $40
million. Deserves it.
Wait, I'm sorry. I said $40 million.
Yeah.
No, seriously. Steph Curry... We're in the wrong line of work, okay? I know I'm a crappy realtor and a radio host. I should have been a basketball player, because Steph Curry is going to make $40.23 million.
Yeah.
And then in 2020, he's going to make $43 million. And in 2021, if his ankles are still attached and operating, he's going to make $45.7 million.
Yeah.
We're in the wrong line of work, dude.
Yeah, man.
Sorry, I got to you too late.
Yeah.
I think you, if you are going to pick Draymond Green or Klay Thompson, you pick Draymond Green. And here's exactly why. A, the defense, without question, he can guard four positions. I love that. B, his offense, what he showed me in the Western Conference playoffs is his ability to run point on the break and in transition makes them a completely different team.
Deadly. Yeah.
And his ability when he's not running point to get a quick outlet pass is even more deadly. Draymond Green does those intangible things, plays with emotion. Now, he can be anybody's favorite jackass in the NBA. He has that ability, no question about it. But Draymond Green does so many of the intangible things, I think it's very difficult to replace that. No offense to Klay Thompson. I think you've got two of the world's best shooters in KD and Steph. And I think you have enough around them that you can replace his offense. The bigger issue is Klay Thompson on defense. That's where you will miss him.
Yeah, I think, though, one thing that should be said that I think gets left behind a lot is I think their team dynamic might even improve losing one, because I think then you have a more natural fit on the floor. I mean, you know, if you can allow Steph to run point, KD can be the scorer he's always been, and then Draymond can fit in where Draymond fits in, I think they have a more natural flowing offense, and it's not so... You know, they just get awkward at times because they have so many good shooters on the floor that I think a lot of times they're like, they ultra focus on give it up versus just take the shot.
But this is what I said about the Boston Celtics yesterday. They are in such a good position. They don't need to have these conversations for several seasons.
Yeah.
And what if you missed the show yesterday, you got to download it. We had a great Celtics conversation about Marcus Smart not being so smart.
Yeah.
Because he came out and said he wants 12 to 14 million. And in a situation like Boston's or in a situation like Golden State, we've got too much talent for second tier guys to be clamoring for big money.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And if you are an NBA player, I would say Golden State, Boston, there are very few destination organizations, and I do believe that Golden State is one of those. I think you would be able to replace Klay Thompson, and you would be able to do that on a discount with somebody.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of – this league is built on point guards, right, and wing players,
yes.
So it's not as though there's a shortage. And so I just think, you know, it would suck to lose Klay, but I think it's an inevitability. I mean, I highly doubt you're going to – you know, go back to a Durant-less Warriors, if you will. I mean, I don't think there's
the tarantula.
Leave. Yeah, I would be surprised. I would be surprised if they didn't go after KD and just get that done. Like, that would be surprising, I think, to a lot of people. Although
he's going to command a $30 million deal. Do you think it's a done deal? He's going back to Golden State.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I think if they win a title, yeah. I mean, why would you leave? Right? Like, why would you leave?
Could you see a scenario where a Paul George replaces Kevin Durant in Golden State?
Yeah, I mean, potentially. I think that would be very interesting because I think Paul George is obviously far less selfish. I think we've seen that, especially playing with Russ. But, you know, Paul George, they're essentially the same player. KD's just 7 feet tall. And that makes him, you know, a world-class player.
And I actually think Paul George is a much better defender.
Yeah.
And this is one of those conversations that is difficult to have. And I know that it's part of sports to say, well, we need to keep this guy. We got to have him. Like, fandom should never make decisions.
Well, the immediate emotion of winning makes it tough to make the right decision.
But if I said to you, you could only have one, Paul George or Kevin Durant, dude, I think you'd have a hard time talking me out of Paul George.
Well, you're not. Well, right. That's you, though.
But you're a Durant guy.
I am a Durant guy, and I think it would be very close. I think I would have to look at what would answer the question for me is if I went with PG, do I get to keep Klay? Does the money line up? And if it does line up, then yeah, I probably would go with PG. But if I'm still losing Klay, then no, I'm going to go with Durant.
I think you're going if Kevin Durant's a $30 million player.
Yeah.
Because you're saying Steph Curry's a $40 million player based on
I'm
the contract.
I'm saying he's earned that in today's NBA.
No, I'm just saying the proverbial we are saying, because Golden State gave him a contract that says we're going to pay you $40 million.
Yeah.
Well, what is Kevin Durant worth? Because I would value Kevin Durant higher than Steph Curry.
Well, I mean, I think overall, yeah, I probably would. I think, but, you know, in this last game we just saw against the Rockets, Curry was the one to put the daggers home. I mean, you know, he was the one that pretty much finished
sure.
the Rockets. So I think his performance in Game 7 kind of, you know, relax those claims of Curry doesn't show up in big games.
I would agree.
That kind of relaxed that a little bit because he showed up. I mean, he absolutely showed up. So I don't know. That's a really tough decision. So that's why I say I think nobody knows where the Warriors are going to be at mindset-wise when it comes to Kevin Durant.
Is it a given that Kevin Durant returns to Golden
State? For me, it's not. I think you got to look at all your options because you want to continue to be good. There's no reason to just handicap yourself for no reason.
You cannot give him a five-year deal at 35, 40, 45,
yeah, like, why
50.
Would you do that if you're them? Because yeah. without him, you're still going to be arguably one of the best teams in the West. Like,
their ability to get him to take a discount so that they could bring back Iguodala, so that they could, I mean,
yeah.
that they brought back their supporting staff, I think really is significant.
Yeah.
And they only were able to do that because KD took a discount. And again, not to keep going back to the Boston Celtics, that's why you can't overpay a guy like Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
Because he's not integral to your success. And if you're not integral, you're not getting $12 to $14 million. You're not I value him at $8 million. Because he's replaceable. And I've already got Marcus Morris at $5.3 million. Yeah. I'm not paying Marcus Smart $12 million. It just doesn't add up. I can see the Golden State Warriors paying Kevin Durant $30 million.
Yeah.
I can see them.
Well, I think he's worth that.
But I think it's a mistake for that team to do that. Because I think if...
Well, what is a mistake? What are the consequences of that mistake?
Roster flexibility goes away. You lose Klay Thompson.
Do they really have... I guess they had roster flexibility this year.
Yeah.
They're not going to have it long term, though.
Like, but again, you have Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala for 2 more years. You have Draymond Green for 2 more years. I mean, who cares?
So that's what you have to ask yourself then. I mean, knowing you have all three of those guys for 2 more years, that's 2 more years of an opportunity to win a championship.
Are you struggling over Nick Young in a mid-level exception? I'm not.
JaVale McGee. The guy that I look at is Quinn Cook because he's going to be the guy that's going to come in behind Klay Thompson and play.
You have him at $1.5 million next year.
Great deal. He's yeah. going to command a much higher deal
Jordan
after
Bell.
Next year.
Jordan Bell, $1.3 million. Like, they have roster flexibility. They're in really yeah. good shape. You can't make a mistake with Kevin Durant's contract. If you want this Draymond versus Klay Thompson conversation to go away for Golden State, I think you have to make a very, very difficult conversation or a very difficult decision on Kevin Durant because yeah. he has said he's not taking a discount.
And by the way, I don't blame him for not taking a discount. The guy's got to make his money, and I'd be in the same place he is. I would be in the same corner he is.
He left a lot, man.
But he's going to win. He's going to win.
He's going to opt out. I think that's he's already said that. He wants $40 million is what I would guess because he took a $10 million discount this year.
Why would you not? Who cares?
What do you do if the Lakers say, hey, come on down. We'll pay you $45 million.
He'll go. He'll absolutely go, and then I'd let him go. Because you're telling me that you're not able to beat that team with Kevin Durant and everybody else? And if it's just Kevin Durant and Julius Randle?
Kevin Durant, well, they're going to get two. They're going to get two. What if it's
you're
Kevin
saying that's a given. I don't think that's a given.
Kevin Durant and Paul George. Kevin Durant and LeBron James. You're telling me LeBron James isn't going to L.A. to play with Kevin Durant? Oh, come on. Sure
I don't know.
He is.
I don't know. We don't know. I think, yeah, that's a pretty scenario. That's
Man,
sexy.
I can't see LeBron James going back. This is it. Do people not realize
Cavs fans think that he's going back to Cleveland? I'm just telling you, he's not.
Listen
I don't know why
me.
He would.
You know why he's not going back? Because they're not going to the finals again. Next year, this is it for them. They shouldn't be in the finals this year. This is it. If you're LeBron James, you now have to be singularly focused on winning a championship.
Yeah.
You can't tell me you're going back
to
Cleveland.
Well, with where he's at in his career, he doesn't have a choice.
And the dumpster fire that is the organization in Cleveland, and no offense, I believe Tyronn Lue gets more heat than he should and deserves more credit than he's getting now for
yeah.
their success.
Yeah.
But he's not a very good coach.
No.
He's not a very good manager of talent.
He's been
yet.
Out coach the whole postseason.
Right.
I mean,
and
LeBron has made up for that.
And he's very young, by the way. He's still a young coach
that's
growing and developing.
But again,
and,
not to be a hater, that's not an excuse. With what Brad Stevens is doing, it's not an excuse now.
But think about this. Here's something else to consider.
Yeah.
With the Lakers.
Yeah.
And we started this with Draymond versus Klay.
To preface this, you're now a Lakers fan. I just want that to be said on this show. You're a Lakers fan now.
Fine. But we've run the Draymond versus Klay yes. topic through the strainer, and out comes LeBron to Los Angeles.
Hell of an answer.
If you're the Los Angeles Lakers, why are you holding on to Lonzo Ball?
I don't get it.
Because now I'm at a point, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, LeVar Ball ripped the organization again. Ripped the trainers again. Ripped Luke Walton again. And now Clamato Ball, or excuse me, LiAngelo Ball,
mm-hmm.
who I call Clamato just because, well, that's a beer and it's funny. Anyway, LiAngelo Ball, I feel like an idiot. LiAngelo Ball is getting crushed. He worked out for the Lakers.
Looked bad doing it, too.
And, yeah, he did not shoot as well as he's capable of, but there's some sources that say NBA general managers don't think he's good enough to play in the G League. That came out today, and I think it was Bleacher Report. My phone explodes with sports updates all day long. It's an obsession, so I lose track. I think it was Bleacher Report, who had a report saying that NBA executives do not believe that LiAngelo Ball is good enough to play in the G League. Talented, and the word was talented enough to play in the G League. This guy's going to China.
I agree.
I mean, so... What's going to happen here is you are going to have LeVar Ball trying to exert some kind of pressure that he believes or leverage that he believes he has on the Lakers to put LiAngelo on their G League team. And I'm just like, hey, I wouldn't do it. LeVar Ball has zero authority here. And if I'm the Lakers, I bring back Lonzo and I see what he has done. And if I have any hesitation, I trade Lonzo Ball. And if it means trading him to Golden State to get me a sign-and-trade for Kevin Durant, or if I got to throw him into a deal with Cleveland to do a sign-and-trade for LeBron James, or OKC to do a sign-and-trade with, I'm happy to do it.
Me too.
Because I'm at the point now where if I'm in the Lakers front office, and I'm clearly not, but if I'm in the Lakers front office, I'm just tired of hearing what LeVar Ball says to the media.
Yeah, and look, I think what's justifying their tolerance of LeVar Ball? Lonzo's performance, right? Yeah. Like that's what we're talking about here. If Lonzo performs well and is a key contributor and a guy that you got to be starting every night for them, okay, then yeah, we can listen to your dad make an idiot of himself every night. Yeah, we're good with that. But if he sucks and he's still, breaking the backboard with all those bricks, then, yeah, we'll see you later.
I wouldn't hesitate to trade him.
And I'm not a Lonzo believer. I think he's talented. I think he can pass the hell out of the ball, and he's great in transition. I don't think he's going to be a star.
I think his only issue is his shot. I think he has elite, elite vision, elite ability to pass the basketball. He's a wanting rebounder and defender. He's already a solid defender. He's not a great defender, but he's young. He's a rookie.
Yeah, and he's got to grow into his frame, by the way, too.
And he's apparently a wanting weightlifter. He enjoys that because, by all accounts, he's pounding the weight room right now, which is really good because he's got to be stronger to last in this league. But all of that's well and good. LeVar knocks all of that down a notch or two. Anything that Lonzo Ball does well, LeVar knocks it down a notch because he's such a pain in the ass. And now that the kids aren't going to be in Lithuania and he's going to be around all summer and he's going to be around in the fall, I want nothing to do with
that. Dude, I have real concerns that LaMelo is actually going to make it because of the
situation. Did you see he cut his hair?
I didn't.
Oh, he cut all of his hair off. He's got the Lonzo wave now. It's like essentially it looks like his hair is painted on.
Mm-hmm.
And he already said on Instagram, I miss my hair. Like, I hope he'll make it. LaMelo will make it. He's too talented not to make it. He will have to bang around. I don't know where he's going to play ball this year. Because physically, he's just so small. He's a guy that needs to take the Dante Exum route. Go to an academy. Go to IMG. Go somewhere and play basketball every day. Develop your body, play basketball, fix your shot, do all of that. And then I think he's going to have to, when he's physically strong enough, He's going to have to go back to Europe in a year. He needs a year at IMG or an academy. Like, and I bring up the fact that places like IMG exist for this exact situation. And, you know, I think that Dante Exum decided not to play college basketball, and he went to a basketball academy for a year to get into the draft.
Yeah.
And it worked. Now, he's been a miserable failure because his body hadn't developed, and he's grown, and now he's actually looking like a guy that might be able to contribute.
Yeah.
But I think that's where LaMelo needs to go. But it doesn't matter, because if Lonzo fails due to LeVar, which I think is a real, there's a real chance of that, that teams will just write Lonzo off because of his shooting deficiencies. If they write him off because of LaVar Ball, I think Clamato and LaMelo are in real trouble.
LiAngelo's not going to make it. I mean, you're a Euro player.
He can, yeah, he can play in Europe. That's he it. Can absolutely I mean, play in Europe. Play he can in play Europe, in China.
Have a good career, make your Euros. Like, that's cool. I'm fine with that.
There's go play in China. The Chinese league is not horrible. It's on par with the G League. Like, a guy like Jimmer Fredette dominated the Chinese league.
Yeah, he was like the MVP of the
yeah,
Chinese league.
Yeah, dominated it. Yeah. Oh, and by far one of the most entertaining players over there.
Yeah.
Go over there and become a man. Because that's, and this is the last thing I'll say about this, I promise. This is the problem with the Ball family. They're not men. Lonzo Ball's not a fully developed physical man yet. LiAngelo is not a fully developed man yet. And certainly LaMelo, who's 16
he's
years
kid,
old.
Dude.
And he was shirtless in this picture of his hair. I mean, the guy, he,
string bean, bro.
Dude, eat some carbohydrates. Like fettuccine Alfredo every night for that kid.
Yeah.
You know, so it just, my point is I would trade Lonzo Ball because LaVar's just not worth the headache.
Yeah.
That or you've got to get Lonzo to extricate himself from the web of LaVar, and I don't know how you do that. I really don't. Hey, I want to get to the NFL here on The Monty Show. Make sure you find me on Twitter, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Something really bothered me today that came out. So you know that Colin Kaepernick has been knee-deep in this collusion lawsuit against the NFL? And so he's been deposing NFL owners. And now we're starting to hear the fruits of those depositions.
Yeah.
And the fruits of those depositions are that NFL owners essentially bowed down to Donald Trump, specifically Jerry Jones. Trump called Jerry Jones and said, hey, this NFL kneeling thing is a win for me. This NFL kneeling thing can lift me up. And now it turns out many NFL owners are in that same boat.
Yeah.
And it turns out, and what it looks like, is the NFL owners are not colluding amongst themselves. They're colluding with Donald Trump to keep guys like Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid out of the NFL.
There's going to be a price to pay for that.
And I don't know how this ends well.
It doesn't end well. I mean, they're going to do, like, I would love to understand what's their main reason for doing this, because it's not going to save you money, I can tell you that. It's going to cost you an ass load. Just in suits alone, and then
I don't know, man.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Well, we were talking about this before the show. I find it fascinating that guys like the Jerry Joneses of the world, who are, you know, rich, 60-year-old white men with, you know, just a plethora of money, are able to dominate their inner circles and just be in control of everything, and then Trump comes walking into the door, and they just bow down like he's God or something. Like yeah. He's some kind of like king or something. I just don't understand it.
Well, this report also, by the way, this was done by Andrew Beaton in the Wall Street Journal. Credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
He went to the White House and asked for comment. And the White House said the majority, quote, the majority of American people agree with the president, love our country, love our flag, and believe it should be respected. Well, the problem with that is that the secret poll the NFL owners themselves did showed that that's not true. That there is a real split amongst Americans that show people both agree with and oppose the protests. And this also ignores the idea of why Colin Kaepernick began kneeling. Colin Kaepernick began kneeling because an Army veteran told him that was better than sitting on a cooler. And I tweeted this out, and I don't know how many people have seen it, but the story, and this is 100% true, go and do the research. It's on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show, or just get on Google. Colin Kaepernick was protesting, and nobody was talking about it. He was sitting on a cooler. Marshawn Lynch style, let's say.
Yeah.
And so a military vet went up to him and said, hey, you know, instead of just sitting down, you should kneel. It will draw more attention, and it's a peaceful, respectful way to protest. A la Tim Tebow. Kaepernick began doing that at that soldier's suggestion. And so it's not Colin Kaepernick disrespecting the flag. And this narrative that Colin Kaepernick is anti-American and is only looking to be anti-American and is disrespecting the flag just doesn't have any legs.
Yeah.
And people need to understand that.
Well, I mean, this is clearly, you know, this is the model story for, hey, I saw the headline and that's what we know about it.
And it really bothers me because I don't like the way Colin Kaepernick's handled himself. Having been in that locker room and covered Cap, I'm not name dropping or whatever. I was in the locker room the day that Colin Kaepernick took over as starting quarterback for the 49ers from Alex Smith. I was there.
Big day.
And Kaepernick's an odd dude. He's not a normal guy. He's very quiet. He is not the guy that's running around looking for media spotlight. Everybody that was slamming him saying that Colin Kaepernick was only protesting to see his face on TV, you're an idiot because that's exactly the opposite of who this guy is. Hell, he gave away $1 million of his own dollars in secret. This just doesn't add up.
Yeah.
I don't like the pig socks at practice that Kaepernick wore. I don't like the Castro t-shirt in Miami. I don't like that.
Yeah.
But he has every right to kneel down. And the dozens and dozens of soldiers who've come forward and said, hey, I fought so he could kneel down. Now, there's probably thousands of other soldiers who are pissed off he's kneeling down. But it's not like every American and every soldier, which is the narrative from the owners, and that the kneeling down hurt ratings, which has completely been debunked. It's ridiculous that these guys are out of the NFL for this. In this collusion case, he has almost no chance to win this. It's so hard to prove collusion. But I think what it's doing is kind of pulling the curtain back on the fact that Donald Trump is a master manipulator. He saw an opportunity and he grabbed it with the NFL kneeling down controversy. And I think Donald Trump was exactly right. This was a huge opportunity to lift himself up at Colin Kaepernick's expense. That's the part that Trump left out.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a win for him. Yes, it's a chance to lift him up at Colin Kaepernick's expense.
Yeah.
And that's why I think, dude, these players that are talking about boycotting the NFL until Kaepernick and Reed are under contract, I think there's a real possibility to that.
Yeah, I think it's legit. I don't think it's a hoax at all. I mean, I think, you know, now that there's been some facts that have come out and we hear stories about, you know, this story right here, you know, with the owners and Trump, you know,
and
essentially
the fact
colluding.
That NFL owners said that the reason that they haven't signed him, one of the main reasons they haven't signed him is because he's good enough to be a starter. And people, that's a problem on most rosters. And the storyline of, are you going to kneel? And the Seahawks want him to promise he won't kneel.
Yeah.
Which he won't do. The whole thing just bothers me. Sorry to interrupt you. The whole thing bothers me. Yeah. I don't like it.
I mean, it's a huge issue in the NFL. And honestly, it's the last thing the NFL needs with all the image issues it already has. I mean, they don't need this. And it's surprising to me that owners would use ratings to justify it when you know damn well that people are turning the game on just to see if he kneels. It only makes sense.
And I also think what this has done is it's pushed domestic violence
down.
It's pushed Reuben Foster, those kinds of stories, off the radar. It's pushed concussions off the radar. You have all these rule changes that people just don't like. This leading with your head thing. If you're an offensive lineman, on the goal line, how do you not lead with your head? Because what do you have to do on the goal line to win? You got to get low.
Got to get leverage.
And how do you get low? You drop your head. You drop your butt. You drop your head. You dive down. Can't do that. This is what is a catch. That's the problem with this leading with your head rule. Anyway, it pushes all those conversations to the back burner.
Which the NFL likes.
I would agree. And I think this Colin Kaepernick thing is fascinating to me. Because I'm not by any stretch guaranteeing he'll play in the NFL. I thought he would have gotten a shot by now. And I know he was really close in Seattle, but I thought he'd be on a roster by now. And he's not. And I think seeing Johnny Manziel go to Canada.
Dude, once players start, you know, sitting out and stuff, he'll get back on a roster.
Do you think that actually happens?
I think it does happen. Because I think a lot of African-American players are fired up about it. And they don't like it.
Well, see, that's the problem. Black players won't get this done.
Black players are the NFL, dude.
No. Let's be perfectly clear about
this. Tom Brady doesn't need to sit out for this to get picked.
Yes, he does.
No, I disagree.
Yes, he does.
I disagree. I think if enough players sit out, Tom Brady is one person. Aaron Rodgers is one person. Matt Ryan is one person.
Dude, I couldn't disagree with you more. I can't disagree with you more.
So let me just get this right. You're saying that if half of rosters sit out, defensive guys, all the backup players, all, you know, some of the stars that are on the field, if those
half
guys
the
sit
roster
out,
sit out, okay, that's going to be a big deal.
They have the numbers. It's just a matter of who's going, how many players and how much of a majority can they get? That's the question.
How many players can afford it? How many players can give up paychecks? That's a real question.
I don't know. I think rather than asking that question, I think they should be asking themselves, how bad do they want it? Does money matter to them that badly?
But see, I think, and this is the tipping point on this conversation. This is a black versus white issue.
Clearly.
It's why last year we started seeing white players get involved with these protests, because there was a lot of clamoring for unity amongst the players. I think you might get 10 players who will say, sure. If Tom Brady says, I'm going to sit out until Colin Kaepernick has a job, that's going to make a huge difference.
I think it's going to be more than 10 players. I think...
You do?
I do, yeah. I think it'll be more than 10 players. I don't know how many more, but I think 10 players is meaningless. I mean, if you're going to sit out 10 people, I don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't do a damn thing to the NFL.
But that's my point.
You're going
to
need...
That's why you need a Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers... a Jimmy Garoppolo. You need big-name quarterbacks.
Look, it would be nice to have, sure. And if that happened, I think, yeah, that would make things change real quick.
By the way, Tom Brady and this whole Tag Heuer, you know, Grand Prix of Monaco, throwing a football on a boat thing instead of being at OTAs, I think that's significant. And I think the fracture in the relationship between Tom and the Patriots is significant. And if he's going to sit out, I don't know if Tom Brady cares about Colin Kaepernick. I have no idea.
Tom Brady doesn't have a care in the world.
Oh, I think you're... Dude.
What does he have left to prove?
You don't get it. No offense. You don't get it. Tom Brady absolutely has cares in the world. If you think Tom Brady doesn't care about his legacy, if you think Tom Brady doesn't want 5 more rings, you're crazy. If you think that the Malcolm Butler benching at the Super Bowl isn't a burr in Tom Brady's saddle, you're crazy. Yeah, I just don't see how does that compute? Tom Brady absolutely has an opinion on Colin Kaepernick versus the NFL. I don't know that we'll ever know it. He has an opinion. Aaron Rodgers has an opinion. Drew Brees has an opinion. Ben Roethlisberger has an opinion. Matt Ryan has an opinion. Matthew Stafford has an opinion. Those are the guys that matter. Now, you're going to have to get Todd Gurley, Khalil Mack. You're going to have to get J.J. Watt. You're going to have to get the biggest stars on defense. But this is a quarterback-driven league. If you start having quarterbacks sitting out saying, hey, until Eric Reed and Colin Kaepernick are under contract, we're not going to play. That's when it'll change.
Yeah.
walk me through Tom Brady doesn't have a care.
Dude,
in the
Tom
world.
Brady doesn't have anything else to prove. He could walk away right now and he'd be the best quarterback that ever did it.
But that's not enough for him.
Well, maybe it's not enough. We'll see. Actions speak louder than words.
If that were the case.
Dude, you can go chill on a boat in Timbuktu and throw a football and put it on Twitter and stuff. But until he actually does something, until he says something, I don't buy that he's some great great peacemaker and that he's going to come in here and make waves.
But who said he was?
Well, you're saying he's got all these opinions and he's
right,
got
but
all
he,
these
but, no.
Cares.
No. That's not what I said. What I said was he absolutely has an opinion on Colin Kaepernick versus the NFL.
He needs to say it.
And what I said was, I don't know that we'll ever know it. But if Tom Brady gets on the side of Colin Kaepernick and says, I'm not playing until he's under contract, that's significant.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, and I don't want to play the millennial card, or I don't understand why the Tom Brady conversation is always so difficult. And why young people are so obstinate about the idea that, oh, Tom Brady has nothing left to prove. You're wrong. If he had nothing left to prove, he'd have retired 10 years ago. Like, the guy went from Palo Alto, California. He could have gone to Stanford. He had rides in California. Where'd he go? He went to Michigan. Tom Brady's never sat around and taken the easy route. Tom Brady, I mean, this is a guy that's always done it the hard way. He's doing it the hard way in New England. If he didn't have a care in the world and had nothing left to prove, he would have retired 3 years ago, 4 years ago. He would have retired. You know why he doesn't? Because he likes putting rings on his fingers. He likes the after Super Bowl win parties. He likes hanging out with his guys. He likes being Tom Brady, a quarterback. And frankly, I think he likes playing football. He has cares in the world, trust me. They all have cares in the world. Money doesn't mean anything to a guy like Tom Brady. He's got too much of it for it to matter. His wife's got just as much money as he does. Like, it's not a money thing. It's a, I can still do this. You're wrong. I'm not too old. I can still do this. He's the, is there a more influential player in the NFL than Tom Brady? If Tom Brady came out right now and said, we need to do something about this concussion settlement that is freaking terrible for players, that would curry favor. If Tom Brady had gone and sat at that Kaepernick summit with NFL owners, that would have been significant. There's nobody that's got more leverage or has a bigger name than Tom Brady.
That might be true, but here's my point. You always say this. Actions speak louder than words. He hasn't done anything.
Right, but something's changed now. Because he's not in New England.
But he hasn't clearly defined why he's not there, right?
Oh, like, but there's no question why he's not there. There is a rift in that organization. And it's why you hear about Rob Gronkowski. It's why you hear about Tom Brady. There is something not right between Brady, and really, let's just say it, the players and Bill Belichick. Why is Josh McDaniels not in Indianapolis right now? Well, because he's the heir apparent for a reason. In my opinion, there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is on a boat in France because he'd rather be there than at OTAs for the first time in who knows how long. He's the guy who said you win Super Bowls in May at OTAs. He said you win Super Bowls at OTAs. And all of a sudden you're throwing a football for Tag Heuer instead of the Patriots? Come on. That says something.
Yeah.
That says something major. Anyway, point is, I don't think you'll have enough players sitting out to support this. And until you get a majority of big name players, that's when it'll change. Wow, we had our first you're an idiot conversation here for a minute. That was pretty intense.
Not our first, won't be our last.
That was pretty intense. Do you agree with me or no?
No.
Okay. Were you speaking to Donald Trump? Or were you glad to see Kim Kardashian in the Oval Office today?
I mean, I'm not a Kim K fan. I think
that
was
awkward.
She went, you know, trying to get a pardon and whatever, dude. I mean, it's Kanye's wife. Like,
well, she didn't go trying to get a pardon. She went for prison reform, is essentially what she was doing there. Did you see the New York Post cover for tomorrow? The headline: The Other Big Ass Summit. Kim Thong Un pitches president on prison reform.
That's rough.
And the big headline at the bottom of the New York Post tomorrow morning will read, Trump meets Rump.
I mean, they're playing with him, dude. I mean, but that's what I say. Like,
it's amazing.
Another thing we disagree on.
That's amazing.
I'm happy to see the guy burn to the ground, dude. I mean, I'm serious. He's earned it. You want to talk about guys who have earned a sad ending? That dude's earned a sad ending. With everything he's done, like, I won't feel sorry for the guy. Won't feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah, I don't know. My brother says we shouldn't talk politics on this show. He says that it's a turnoff for him. I don't go there to hear about President Trump.
Go back to listening to Fox and Friends and get your biased opinion there.
Wow. Okay, take it easy there.
Am I wrong?
How's Caitlin Collins these days? Jake has it, and if you don't know who Caitlin Collins is, Jake has a huge crush on CNN White House reporter Caitlin Collins. Would you marry her tomorrow?
No. I'd love to see her, though.
You're supposed to just say yes for the show. Would you marry her tomorrow?
Maybe.
Yeah, you jerk. Anyway, you have a crush on her. Why is Kim Kardashian really able to lobby the president?
Clearly.
Is she really... Are we going to see a prison reform bill coming up now all of a sudden?
I mean, I doubt that. I think it's interesting. It's Kanye's wife, dude. She's getting the meeting because he's buddies with Kanye.
Dude, that headline is amazing. New York Post.
It's great.
Kim Thong-un pitches president on prison reform.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That's amazing. Real quick, let's talk some baseball because I know we're... Any guess how long we've been doing the show today? We always do this pretty much on a daily basis. We try to keep the show under an hour.
We're in the 50s for sure.
We're at 41 and a half minutes.
Oh, okay.
Major League Baseball is changing. And again, we got some Cubs news today, and I know that I probably talk too much Cubs on this show, but whatever, deal with it. Yu Darvish got a clean bill of health on his elbow. Structurally, there's nothing wrong with his elbow. He has a tricep strain. He is day-to-day. I don't feel better about that.
And I don't
What
buy
did
it.
You say when
I
that news came
it, dude.
Out?
Dude, here's the deal. You strain your tricep or your bicep, there's something wrong with your elbow. It's that simple. And the reason you strain it is because those two muscles are compensating. They're compensating. Move your middle finger. Your tricep moves.
Yeah.
When you put pressure on a baseball with your index and your middle finger, your tricep has to work.
Yes.
And when you throw a curveball, the way he throws a curveball and the way Japanese pitchers use their bodies to throw curveballs, it puts a ton of strain on your bicep. So it doesn't surprise me that he's got that kind of an issue in his tricep.
At least it's not a forearm strain because end of the world.
Yeah, you're
done. Yeah, that's the end of the world. But the pitching issues are interesting. So the Cubs are going to get Darvish back, which hopefully he can't be any worse. Let's just be honest.
No, I mean,
he's
at rock bottom in my opinion.
I mean, the Cubs are losing to Pittsburgh, by the way, 2-1. They've left the bases loaded twice. Addison Russell continues to be an albatross around the neck of the Chicago Cubs at the plate. He's an elite defender. I think he's number two in baseball in runs saved at shortstop. Like, I mean, the guy's playing defense. He just isn't hitting.
Yeah.
And they're not hitting with runners in scoring position, which continues to be a mystery. They need better pitching. Hendricks gave up a home run in the first. That's all he gave up. And for my money anyway, you're going to likely lose this game to the Pirates. And you're going to wind up, I think this will be 17 games out of first place. I'm just being bitter. Anyway, the point is, this is another opportunity against an inferior team that you're going to give away.
Yeah, and by the way, if he only gives up two runs, that's a solid outing.
Yeah.
It's not as though he's getting lit up. Yeah. I mean, everyone's going to give up runs at one point or another.
But they're not hitting.
Well, and that's the problem. I mean, you know, you talk about, you know, when the Machado thing was really hot, you know, everybody was saying, well,
just
they're
just
not.
So dumb.
Well, I don't know that it's dumb. I think people found that acquisition to be sexy and hot and like that's what they should do.
But oh,
really,
for sure.
But really, the thing is they have everything they need lineup-wise. Like, they have the talent they need. It just needs to come through for them, and it just hasn't happened. And I don't think that makes them a bad team. I think they're just struggling right now. They're not performing. They're going through this turn.
They're not a bad team, Jake. They're just not an elite team.
They're not an elite team right now because they're not hitting when they need to hit. That's like, you can get a base hit. And then if you leave them on, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you're leaving double-digit guys on base every game, you're not going to win games.
Schwarber, Baez, La Stella, Bryant, and Russell. all of those guys combined 1 for 5 with runners in scoring position tonight.
Yeah.
9 runners left on base.
Already.
Yeah. I mean, Hendricks goes 5 innings, 2 earned. Anyway, point is,
like, that's not a great outing out of Hendricks, but it gets the job done. It suffices. It's good enough to keep you in the game.
It's just, anyway, Yu Darvish just coming back.
Yeah.
Then I go to the NL West and I look at Madison Bumgarner on his way back. Should be shortly. I look at Shelby Miller, who dominated last night in San Jose for the Diamondbacks at single A. He will throw a bullpen Saturday. Then I think he pitches again at double A on Tuesday.
That would make sense.
And then they're saying that third start potentially could be in the big leagues. You know, it's just one of those things where I'm having trouble with this idea that the NL West is going to be this bad and that we have any idea who the best team in the National League is, because I have no idea who the best team in the National League is. And don't look now, Bryce Harper's starting to hit.
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking me who the best team in the National League is, I would probably go with the Nationals right at this very second. But I think, like you were just saying, I think a lot of injuries are now coming back. A lot of guys who got hurt early are now going to come back. And so that's going to change the West. And so I think, look out if the Giants can find their stride a little bit. And if Shelby Miller can somehow actually put together a decent outing without blowing his arm up, they might actually be okay.
And by the way, the Cubs are 2 outs, top of the ninth. Chris Bryant at the plate with the tying run at second base.
Right. So this is exactly the situation we're talking about, right? Yeah. Like, they're finding themselves in the situation. That's what I'm saying. They could go from a really mediocre team this year to a just phenomenal team simply by hitting. That's it. Like, they could add nobody else and do nothing else, and they could be a really good team. It's a matter of execution. That's it.
Yeah, we'll see. I am more confident than I've been in some time that the Red Sox are the best team in baseball. I mean, just the way they're pitching right now, the way they're hitting right now. They won again today, even though the Yankees, you know, beat the Astros again today. I am impressed with Boston. And as we sit here and we once a week take the temperature of Major League Baseball and talk about who the best team in baseball is, if you're asking me today, I don't think it's the Astros. I think it's the Red Sox. Yeah, J.D. Martinez, look at the performance you're getting out of he and Jackie Bradley. I mean, that's what's so impressive to me. Oh, and Chris Bryant swings at a pitch way out of the zone.
Yeah, not great. But listen, we're back in the golden years of Yankees, Red Sox. Obviously, I mean, both of these teams are very good, really good teams, right? And that's why we're seeing it on TV so much. I think the Astros are obviously going to be there for the long haul, as the Red Sox and the Yankees will be, and it'll just depend on who's playing the best baseball at the end of the year. Frankly, I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. Right,
Benintendi, like Bogarts is now hitting again. J.D. Martinez. I just think if Jackie Bradley Jr. can start hitting, if he can just
can play defense.
If the guy can just hit consistently, man, you'd love to. That's when they're going to be just deadly. And if Jackie Bradley Jr. can hit consistently, and the Cubs lose to the Pirates. If Jackie Bradley can hit consistently and start to build that lineup, man, I don't have any doubt that they're the best team in baseball. And I know that it's easy to sit here and say that now on May 30th, but I love that lineup. And what you're getting from, again, not to be redundant, J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts, that's why I say, I know he's been terrible. Jackie Bradley Jr. is better than whatever he's hitting 200. He's better than that. So my point is, they're going to improve. They're going to get better. My question will always be about them. Can you count on David Price? Can you count on a Rick Porcello? Because I know I can count on Chris Sale to dominate guys. His 276 is probably a little higher than it will be. Right? Like, I know that.
I mean, I think you can count on them in the regular season. I just have big-time reservations about the postseason. I think, like I said before, I think Chris Sale is going to have a great postseason this year. I think last year was him kind of breaking in the motor in the postseason. He'd never done it before, and I think the jitters got to him in a huge game.
Do you believe in David Price? This is a guy that now is 5-4.
To get you to the postseason.
He's got a 4 ERA, though. Is this a
in
four
American League?
Is he a four ERA pitcher at this point in his career? Because he's not young anymore. He's not even at his. What has he been in the league 10 years now? I would guess.
Long time, yeah.
This is not a guy that is at the top of his game anymore. But he's had some real quality starts. Once we got to May, he's had some real quality starts. I remember that Texas start he got shelled in. That's really his the last blemish on his record.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's always been the guy that gets you to the postseason. Like, that's what he does. He dominates the regular season, and he's dominated the regular season for a long time.
Yeah.
And boy, I'm not coming off it. I am not coming off of it because he has improved himself. Point to the postseason start where it's been lights out, where he's done what Verlander's done or what, you know, any of the pitchers of his caliber have done.
So do you think they are the best team in baseball or no? You still think
Now they're probably the best team in baseball, but I think things change. That's why I don't buy the garbage of, well, we're only going to play 130 games now.
Yeah.
We're going to go to this shortened schedule.
If Jackie Bradley hits 250 for the year, he's at 196 right now.
Huge help.
So if he builds to, let's say, 250.
Yeah.
And you get, you know, I 325 out of Betts, out of JD Martinez.
Listen,
JD gives you 45
They have enough
home
offense.
Runs.
That, what I'll say is they have enough offense this year to compensate for David Price giving up 6 in the second inning.
And they have the bullpen.
Yeah.
They've got to find, through the year, you've got to have 5 starters. They don't have a 5th starter at this minute, in my opinion. They've got 4 quality starters.
Yeah.
They'll need 3 of those in the postseason. So, I don't know. I think they're the best team in baseball. I do. What do you make of the NL West? Your boys haven't gotten any better.
No, they haven't.
The Giants.
And
the Gents.
I just have real trouble with the fact that they're going to, you know, go out and win that division. I know the Diamondbacks have been just terrible the last 20, 25 games.
Awful. Worst team in baseball. I mean, they're a game over 500.
Yeah, and they're still fine.
That's amazing. They're two out. Colorado is not this. I'm sorry. Colorado is not the best team in this division.
No, they're simply benefiting from the Giants and the Diamondbacks being down, and the Dodgers.
Are you simply waiting for the Dodgers to play this kind of baseball? They're 7-3 in their last 10. They're in third place. They've passed your Gents. I mean, how concerned are you that the Giants have finally taken off? Now, they lost to Jake Arrieta last night, who dominated them at Dodger Stadium, but. You know, they took two or three from the Padres.
Yeah. Dude, they're a good team.
Two or three from the Rockies.
They're a good team, but I
took three straight from.
I like the Diamondbacks to win the division if A.J. Pollock comes back and is fine.
He's out at least.
Deal.
He'll be out at least, 4 more weeks? He just had his thumb.
I mean, they're going to have a fire second half. I mean, simply put, they're going to have to play elite baseball the entire second half to win that division.
They're not winning the NL West. The Arizona Diamondbacks won't win the West. Unless a guy like Shelby Miller comes up and gets red hot.
You're saying the Dodgers are winning the West.
I think the Dodgers will win the division. Because I do believe that they will go and add, even though they are really close to the luxury tax, I think they will go and find it. Because now Maeda's back on the disabled list with a hip strain, and Clayton Kershaw's on the way back. And I think the Dodgers will add.
Yeah.
If they add, the Dodgers will win the division. They will. I don't know that they're going to do that. I believe they will.
Yeah.
The question is, what do the Giants do? What if Bumgarner comes back? Because they've been without Madison Bumgarner.
They've been without a lot of studs.
And they really don't have. They don't. Johnny Cueto, obviously, they don't have a pitching staff. That's the problem, especially the rotation. If they get some of those guys back, and they start winning, the Giants are going to be really deadly because I'm still a McCutcheon believer. I'm still a Longoria believer.
I'm not writing them off. What I'm saying is they just haven't been there yet. And you're the guy who always hounds me about, well, it's not early anymore. It's not early anymore.
It's not.
Well, I don't know. When do I start believing? I don't know. Show me you can do it, and then I'll believe in it. Like, the reason I believe in the Cubs is because they've done it, and I know they can do it. It's just a matter of actually doing it.
It makes me nervous that they lose to, you know, they've lost 4 in a row to the Cubs and now the Rockies last night. But you're looking at a situation now where this Rockies series is actually critical. June is here. The weekend's going to be here, and we're going to be in June.
Yeah.
Okay? And you're getting a Derek Holland start right now, 3 innings, 7 hits, 4 earned. He's given up a home run. Like, this is becoming a real problem now. That this pit, I don't know how long they can hang on without quality pitching. With all due respect to Derek Holland, I love the guy. He's not a major league starter anymore. not on a pennant contending team.
Yeah.
And they should be that. So that's my biggest question. They chased John Gray, who got rocked in this game. 3 innings, 6 hits, 4 earned. 3 walks and 5 Ks.
Well, that's why Holland's still in the game then.
Yeah.
Because it's still a game.
Yeah. But you're getting enough offense out of this team. Gorkys Hernandez is hitting 300. How is that possible? I don't know.
Because all the studs in the NL are hurt.
You're getting a great season from Belt. Brandon Crawford is arguably the best shortstop in baseball, the way he's swinging it right now. Defensively, I think he's there every single year. But the Giants are dangerous, and nobody's talking about them, and I think they love it that way. Let the Warriors go all the way to an NBA championship so nobody talks about the Giants.
Yeah.
And I think they love it that way because Bum's coming back. And if he gets back and you can get Cueto back and you can add a third arm somewhere.
Well, I mean, they're just like everybody else, right? I mean, if they get their guys back and their guys perform and they can find a way to hit, they'll be fine. But again, I'm just saying, I don't count the Dodgers as a winner because I think Kershaw's going to go down again. I don't think he's going to last the whole year. He never does. Yeah.
Okay.
He never does.
All right. Fine. Be that way.
By the way, the Padres are still developing and getting better.
See, I had a huge argument with a guy on Twitter yesterday about the Padres. And I want to believe in this team. I believe in this team. They're 2 years away. Like, the thing that I pissed off a Padre fan because I said that they should move Franmil Reyes to an AL team. Because now he's starting to hit home runs. He hit a ball out of Petco last night that, I mean, he put it into that second deck in left field, and you don't, in left center field, and you don't see guys hit balls there. You don't. I mean, the guy's a monster, but he has no defensive position. He's less of an outfielder than Kyle Schwarber is. Like, he's that kind of outfield. Like, Schwarber is now serviceable.
So he's Tomas?
He's Yasmani Tomas. Exactly right. But he has legitimate major league power, and I don't know that Tomas does.
Yeah.
Point being, I look at the San Diego Padres, and everybody's pissed off they're losing. This team's not ready to contend yet. I think there's a decent chance. I put it at 35% that they can still come third in the West. I mean, the way the Diamondbacks have collapsed, the Rockies, I still think the Rockies are going to fall apart. They're going to score a ton of runs, but I still think their pitching's going to get exposed.
Cargo's going to get hurt.
Yeah, I just, you know, they miss Mark Reynolds. How is Mark Reynolds doing what he's doing for the Nationals and not for the Rockies? Like, I don't get it. Anyway, point being, the San Diego Padres are in a position where they're perfectly situated. You don't need to do all of this, you know, we got to go and get another pitcher. No, you don't. Let Eric Lauer get hit. Let Eric Lauer figure out how to throw balls, how to locate pitches. You're fine right where you are. Lucchese's hurt. Once he gets back, he was pitching really well. I'm thrilled with that. I'm thrilled with what I'm getting out of Clayton Richard. I'm thrilled what I'm getting out of Hand. Trade his ass. Trade Tyson Ross. You don't need those guys. You don't. Frankly, here's the conversation. The San Diego Padres, as a fan base, have unrealistic expectations. They want to keep Clayton Richard. They want to keep Tyson Ross. They want to keep Brad Hand. If you want to keep those guys, you don't want to win a World Series in 2-3 years.
It's that simple.
It's the bottom line. Go and get more prospects. Go and trade Brad Hand to a contender that needs a bullpen arm. He is dominant, destroying lefties this year. He's not a closer on a contending team.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, he was an all-star last year for the Marlins. Right? Like, that's the caliber of team he belongs on. Trade him to a contender who will use him as a lefty specialist, because that's what he is.
Yeah.
And get some prospects for him. Get draft picks for him. That's where you're at.
Yeah.
Develop your young talent. Urias is still not in the major leagues. Perella is not a starting second baseman on a contending team. Urias has a chance to be that for a decade, right? He does.
Yeah.
Bring him up. Let's get to getting to it. And I'm telling you, stop complaining that they're not winning. That's it. It just, anyway, I could go on and on about it. I think the Padres are exactly where they need to be.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
We went to Whole Foods the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy it?
I didn't hate it.
I love Whole Foods. Why? What is this wishy-washy nonsense from you today? Do you like Whole Foods? No, yes, maybe?
Yes, I like Whole Foods. It's expensive as hell, and I would never shop there as a millennial. I would probably be a fries person or, like, you know, it's just so expensive.
But that's why you need Amazon Prime. Did you see this today? The Amazon Prime discount started in many states, including our great state of California, Northern California. Not Southern California, because they know I want it.
Right.
But it's in Utah and Northern California now. Prime members get a 10% discount at Whole Foods. That's worth some serious cash, man.
Yeah.
And they're starting to roll that out to more and more states. I love it. Because I'm a huge
Whole Foods guy. Look, I like going to Whole Foods. It's just so expensive. Like, it is over the top expensive, dude.
We spent, what, $234?
Like, come on.
Yeah,
I could get that same amount of food for under $100 at Fry's. Seriously.
Yeah, but the problem is it's crappy foods at Fry's. It's all organics and whole at Whole Foods. It's worth it. I got the best peanut butter at Whole Foods the other day because I was able to grind it myself. I loved it in my oats today.
That doesn't make it the best.
Okay. See, you and it, no, I'm not doing it. No, I'm not falling into the millennial trap. Tom Brady doesn't have a care in the world. Anyway. We should go. Find us on the iHeartRadio app. Find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, wherever you find your favorite podcast. Just search The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.